Welcome to the Hot Level Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Padres play the Red Sox. The fourth place Padres, by the way. The Giants have moved ahead of them by a half a game. They've played one fewer games. And the last place, Red Sox. Now, the Red Sox are in last place in the AL East with a 24-20 record. Okay? The Padres are 20-24. Mm-hmm. I was laughing because I like to read way too much into the pictures that our producer John Kelly puts up, right? And because that's what people do now, right? Mm-hmm. I haven't done to everything that I say, right? And I hear about everything the Padres say, and people read a lot into that. So I like to do that too, just to kind of pay it forward. Michael Wacha, and I just thought it was funny because, like, I was looking at the WAR leaders for the Padres today, and like, it's all pitchers. Like, Ha-Sung Kim is the Padres WAR leader right now.
Wait, really?
1.9. Now, it's too early. We're blowing things out of proportion. Sure. It's a little skewed. But Ha-Sung Kim, 1.9. Xander Bogaerts, 1.8. Soto, and then the kid who's played 24 games, Fernando Tatis Jr., both Soto and Tatis, 1.3. And, like, the rest of the players in, like, the top 10, according to Baseball Reference, this is B-War, are pitchers.
Wow. How
bad the Padres are right now. Hello, Ryan. What do you want to talk about first?
Hello. It's just like we drew it up at the start of the season.
A
solid pitching staff is covering for a lineup that can't hit, just like everybody thought. I think starting pitching is the first place to go. I mean, we'll get into kind of the big picture. Hey, is it time to panic stuff as we get a little bit further down? But, you know, I think lost in some of the struggles the other day was Seth Lugo. Exits with some tightness,
calf strain, yeah.
Yeah, calf strain. It appears as if Ryan Weathers will just take his spot in the rotation. Right. Starting pitching has been such a strength for them so far. I mean, is this a crack that could be concerning?
Sure. Absolutely. It's got to be the first thing that occurs to you, though, you know, these guys have had rough starts before and bounced back. Joe Musgrove hasn't started going yet. You figure that he will. Look, he didn't have a spring training. You know, everything, there was interruptions, everything he tried to do until recently. So I don't think that's a thing, but it's like what's happening now is you're counting on it. You need Joe Musgrove to get going. Not that you didn't before, but like it's like imperative. Like there's no like, oh, well, on any topic right now. It's like, no, we need this guy to get going. We need this guy to get going. You, Darvish, heck, you wasn't sharp on Wednesday. Okay, fine. He's been magnificent. Yeah, I think that you're a little bit because there's just not the history there. And then there is some history with other guys that every start almost you're like, well, is this guy going to be as good as he's been recently? I mean, even Michael Wacha, who goes on Sunday, he's been fantastic, more than the Padres could have ever imagined out of the guy who was like going to be their number five starter, right? Is that really who Michael Wacha is at whatever it is, 32 years old? I mean, that changeup's incredible. So, yeah, it's like the strength of their team, but it's like this tenuous thing as well.
Absolutely. And my first thought when I heard about the Lugo thing, knowing that it was a calf strain and nothing arm or shoulder related, was in a way this may solve this problem that we've talked about on here before, which is, you know, Lugo was on track to pitch far too many innings, given how many innings he threw last year. Ryan Weathers is pitching well. There probably should have been a spot for him in the rotation somewhere. This puts Lugo on the shelf, maybe even just for a little bit, mm-hmm. and gets Weathers in the rotation. I know there's no such thing as a good injury, but from a timing standpoint, does this make some sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really the only way to think about it. Look, the Padres are not approaching this, and I think you know all teams now to a certain extent, you're not approaching it like, well, there's like this hard limit on how many innings a guy can throw. I mean, there is, but that's like up here, like really high. And then there's like an area that you think he could get to. And you're basing it entirely on how he feels and how you are measuring him. And there are right. so many ways they can measure a guy now. And a lot of them, all of us can see on, you know, StatCast and stuff, but there's other things, hooking him up to machines and like sleeves that kind of lets you know how strong his arm is. And that's a way that, so I do think that it's possible that Seth Lugo blows away any previous expectations we had of a guy who threw 65 innings last year and has not thrown more than 80 since 2018. I think that's possible. But without a doubt, there was going to come a point that he had to be drawn back. And so right. as often happens, as we all fret and think about these things, as often happens, it took care of itself.
Right. right? These problems sort of solve themselves. While we're talking about injuries, you know, since the last time we talked, Manny Machado took a fastball off the hand initially day to day. Then they revealed that it's a hairline fracture. This may be old news by the time our listeners listen, but, you know, do you anticipate this being an IL thing? And does Manny's preference to remain off the IL sort of change the calculus a little bit?
It does a little bit. It means that they'll wait as long as they can to determine that. I am not aware as we talk right now if a final decision has been made. It certainly did appear that he was headed to the injured list. But this is Manny Machado. And I'm telling you that there is not a person on the planet except Manny Machado that thought he wasn't headed to the IL last year when he hurt his ankle. It was a severe sprain. And there was just no chance that he was going to play. And you could still make the argument he should have gone on the IL. And for all intents and purposes, he did go, you know, but he stuck around. He was a presence. He was a pinch hitting threat for whatever it was, 9 games. And then he played for another 20 to 30 games where he wasn't himself. I mean, whatever. What that shows is Manny doesn't go on the IL. So, you know, if he can convince them that, and it's all about grip and pain tolerance, we know his pain tolerance is extremely high. Can he be effective with, you know, playing anytime sooner than a couple weeks? That'll determine it. If you can get Manny Machado back in 8 games, even the Manny Machado who's been playing this year, then you don't put him on the IL.
Sure.
That's it. It's actually, that happened in 2021 too. Manny missed 5 games without going on the IL. Any other player would have been put on the IL just to give him a little bit of a rest. It was a shoulder thing, and it ended up bothering him all year. But not Manny. He doesn't go on the IL. It's a point of pride, and it should be a point of pride. There does come a point where you say, what's best? Now, look, what are you going to – you're going to bring up Tim Lopes? Okay. He's doing fine.
Taylor Colway? Yeah.
I mean, what –
right.
It's not like, you know, you've got even in the past, maybe you had some more intriguing guys in the wings, but but who knows?
Yeah. Kevin, it was his left hand. I'm trying to. Yep. Okay. Because I'm left-handed. I'm trying to mimic a right-handed swing. Is there a chance that he plays but does not play the field? Or is this something that you can.
It's about the bat.
It's about the bat. More, okay. More so than anything. Okay. Yep. So it's just, can he grip it without being in tremendous pain?
Right. And be effective. In any way. So
he is not performing obviously this year. He is not alone. I mean, with the exception of Juan Soto, who's been hot lately, and Xander Bogaerts, who's reached base in 8 straight games, this lineup top to bottom has been brutal. And particularly the bottom third. I know that we talked last week about how, you know, it doesn't really matter if the bottom third's hitting or not, if your top four are doing what they're supposed to do. I thought they were pressing more Wednesday than maybe any Padre team I could remember ever.
Well, I don't know how many of them had a reason to press, but I think you might be right.
What is it? What is it? They talk about execution, preparation. Simplify that down a little bit. What do you think it is?
Well, they have for a long time and been offering examples too. And I can see enough with my eyes also and talk to enough people that it's not about preparation. Could there be some things? Sure. They altered the way that they do a few things throughout the year to tailor it to this team. Yes, they have. It is not the preparation. How about we look at the players? You got to be careful, but there really is no other way to look at this than that they're choking. That's a harsh word. That's a word that conjures up a lot of stuff. But listen to their own words about pressing, about trying too hard, about wanting to be the guy. What is that? That's not performing under pressure. What is not performing under pressure?
Right.
I mean, like you said, you haven't seen a team press like that. Yeah, absolutely. But you have to have something to press for. This team knows what its own expectations are. And as much as they try to say this, like, you know, all that matters are our expectations. It's weird how outside expectations have seeped into their brain if all that matters is their own expectations. That's garbage, all right? Mm-hmm. Expectations are expectations. And their expectations were the same as all the rest of our expectations. They are not performing well under those expectations.
Sure.
You know, that's, I think, as much as anything, that's it. Now, Could Trent Grisham have tried maybe just to make some contact, you know? Heck, maybe that was a time for Trent Grisham to lay down one of his infamous bunts. He comes up to bat four times. He strikes out four times. Three of the times he came up, the bases were loaded. Now, he didn't get credit for one of those because there was a balk that the Padres actually scored on during his at-bat. But still, all four times that he came up to bat, runners in scoring position. Three times, runner in scoring or on third base with less than two outs. The Padres, by the way, are terrible in that situation. I don't know what the league-wide average for turning a third base less than two outs is, but the Padres have had an abundance of opportunities in the last dozen games, like 15 chances, and they've scored on five of them. Two sacrifice flies, a sacrifice hit, a balk, and a single. Okay? They are horrible with men on base, last in the league. Scoring position, last in the league. I don't know their rank, but it has to be close to last in the league or last in the league. Runners on third base, less than two outs. It boils down to execution when the pressure's on, and they're not good at it. Now,
it seems to snowball with them. You know, watching Wednesday.
Right. Yes.
You know, you've got Brett, and I'm trying to recreate the situation in my head here. Brett Sullivan's up. I think the tying run was on third with one out or nobody out. Sixth or seventh inning.
I didn't bring my book out to my office. I could be following along. I thought to myself, what would I need my book for during a podcast? Well, this would be it right here.
But, you know, swings at something 6 inches above the strike zone, kind of in his eyes. Emotional for him, I thought. The mic picked up a very loud swear word. Heads back to the dugout, and then the next guy comes up. And then maybe I'm projecting, but it seems like these things snowball. It seems like, okay, well, now there's one out. So the odds of them scoring, you know, drop in half. And so then you've got, is it Grisham up after him? After the catcher's spot.
Grisham, then Sullivan.
Okay.
Then Bogarts.
And Bogarts, right. And so, you know, it's just, to me, it seems to snowball, and particularly with the bottom third of that lineup.
Yes. And you can't, you know, depending on who you're talking to, like they all have a little different explanation of it, but it's that you have to trust in the line moving, right? Like that if I get out here trying to do what I'm supposed to do, not trying to do too much, but trying to do what I'm supposed to do, if I get out, the next guy will take care of it because we have a good lineup. But do you really believe that the next guy will take care of it? Because the next guy hasn't taken care of it. Now, you know, you haven't taken care of it, but maybe yes, that is a great observation, and it probably happened three or four times throughout the course of the game. And Brett Sullivan, maybe not the best example, as you would know, right? Because, like, he's a Triple-A catcher, right? But it's happening with Juan Soto maybe swinging at a pitch that he wouldn't. Not maybe a ball, right? But, like, a pitch that Juan Soto wouldn't swing at. It becomes harder and harder for Juan Soto to lay off those pitches that what makes him great is laying off strikes that aren't his pitch. But then he's trying to make something happen and he rolls it over to second base. I do want to talk about the bottom of the order. This isn't the Padres. Like, this isn't what they were supposed to be. Rougned Odor, Brett Sullivan. I mean, this is not – one of them wasn't even supposed to be on their bench.
These guys were like early March spring training bodies, basically.
Yeah. Well, they're Rougned Odor couldn't find a job anywhere else. I happen to think that Rougned Odor is a fine bench piece. He gives you a professional at bat. He doesn't strike out. He has a little bit of pop. He can play the field marginally well. I think he's a good bench piece. Brett Sullivan, how could you not love the guy? Enthusiasm, what he's made himself. But, you know, my job is to be honest, and he's their AAA catcher. He was a guy also playing in the field because they had other people they were working at catcher in AAA. So this is not... You know, like I said, Ha-Sung Kim is your war leader. They have like four guys above average in OPS, OPS plus. I'm sorry. This is just not, forget the top five. I do believe the bottom four would be better if the top five were better, but this isn't the lineup that you thought you were going to have.
This isn't the bottom four that we thought they'd be running out there every day either. Yeah.
Right. Don't construe that as me making an excuse for them. I mean, one of the issues that you knew was a potential depth issue unless things went really well. You've had your designated hitters running hot and cold, probably mostly cold lately. You've got Manny, not performing, Manny being hurt. So now you got Odor in the lineup. You got Campusano being hurt. You got Nolan not performing. So you, now you've got Sullivan. I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's majority of games recently. He's platooning his catchers within the game based on the pitcher. So Nola starts, Sullivan finishes. Sullivan starts, Nola finishes, if that's what the calls for with the right and left-handed pitchers. That's not what you want to do. Certainly not with two guys hitting, you know, sub 200.
Right. No, that's true. Well, and that's the thing. You know, if we had to pick apart this Padres roster, even coming out of spring training, it was that there was a depth issue. It was that a lot of their high-level position players in the minor leagues are now playing for the Washington Nationals or the Washington Nationals AAA club.
Or the Guardians or the Mariners. Yep.
Right, exactly. You know, Esteury Ruiz could probably use him right now.
The Pirates, there's a lot. Yes, yes.
Right. That, you know, that they did not have high minors position players, that the guys who they did sign during the offseason, you were taking a risk, whether that was, you know, looking at what Cruz did last year, looking at Carpenter, you know, was he going to be the Carpenter of 2022 or the Carpenter of 2021? There were some risks that they had to take because of the lack of depth. And it just seems like it's all sort of perfect storming on them right now.
Yeah, that's a really, I mean, there's only so much you can do, even with $246 million, and especially if you're going to spend it in certain ways. You're going to then have some other role players. And then we can like focus on the role players, but that's why I'm pretty, and that's fine because we, you know, it is a team, but that's why I'm so adamant about the guys making the big bucks. That's it shouldn't even have been a gamble, but the investment in them was that it would make the role players just role players. And it's a neat story when Brett Sullivan hits a home run that helps you win. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not like imperative that Brett Sullivan doesn't go 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position. So I still will go back to that. Take a look the other day. I think Soto drew a walk. So in 10 plate appearances, that was it for Tatis and Soto getting on base. At least 0-for-2 runners in scoring position, Tatis. And he has been, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but lately it's running hot and cold. And especially with runners in scoring position, has not been coming through. That happens. The problem is it's happening for everyone at the same time. Maybe they're forgetting that too. Like, you know, it's okay that I'm not having a great stretch right now. Well, but it's not okay because no one else is having a good stretch either. So I feel like I have to have a good stretch. Let the season come to you. Look at what happened with the Cardinals. I don't know how good or bad the Cardinals are, but they clearly weren't as bad as worst record in the National League over the first month, right? Now they have the best record in the National League like since a few days into May.
Dodgers. Look at the Dodgers.
The Dodgers started poorly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's – Kevin, clearly they're aware of this. After Wednesday's game, there was a players-only meeting. You were left outside the clubhouse for what? How long did that go? 15, 20 minutes?
Don't know exactly when it started. Meeting was probably about 15 minutes. We were out there for 10 minutes longer than usual. Okay. And that has not happened since I was back on the beat. Now, for the first few years of that, there was no reason for that to happen.
Right.
And then there was the pandemic. So there were meetings during the 2021 season, but we weren't allowed in the clubhouse. So mm-hmm. That don't know for sure, but that was a rarity right there. Mm-hmm. It was because they just lost 2 out of 3 to the Royals. As you pointed out, they felt the exact same way, that was as much as they had pressed all year. There was no possible way that they shouldn't have won 2 of 3. Really, as bad as the Royals are. Now, some Twins fans took offense to me writing that the Padres thought they were better than the Twins, and that was one of the reasons they were so upset when they left Minneapolis. Okay, well, that's fair because the Twins are in first place and, playing fairly well. The Royals are awful. They gave the Padres 5 or 6 runs, tried to give them a few more. The Royals are young and bad. That's just all there is to it. It's like when the Padres would go through town for several years. What do you think they were saying about them? That's a team we should have swept. That's a team we should have won 2 out of 3. That pitching staff shouldn't have done that to us. Look at the errors they made. Look at the base running blunders they made. The Royals are terrible. There was absolutely no excuse. And I'd written it the day before. If they lose, it's a crisis. They obviously agreed.
Right. It's crazy.
You have Ring. Is that, I mean, do you know who that is?
I do know. Well, I don't know who that is, but there is somebody at my front door, which is they've now rung twice, which I can't imagine.
They're persistent. We have not talked about the Red Sox. I think, hey, good news for the Padres, since they can't hit pitchers that they have never seen and pitchers that don't have a lot of experience in the major leagues. They face three veteran pitchers this series. You've got tonight, as we tape this on Friday morning, Blake Snell going against James Paxton. James Paxton making his second start back from Tommy John surgery. His comeback had been delayed a little bit by a hamstring issue, I believe. So this is his second start. First one, pretty good for a guy coming off Tommy John surgery. Veteran pitcher. Tomorrow night, what a matchup. Chris Sale, who appears to be back to being Chris Sale, or at least a semblance after Tommy John and other various maladies, goes against Joe Musgrove. And on Sunday, Corey Kluber, who was never a Padre, but we sure talk about a lot here because he could have been one, and Michael Wacha face off. So this is a veteran-laden weekend, and I do look forward to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Corey Kluber, and let this be a reminder, Kevin, you and I talked off air about this the other day. For those looking for instant gratification via a trade here, something like Corey Kluber is a ghost of Padre past staring you in the face. You know, when they traded Corey Kluber for Ryan Ludwig, it was with the idea that they weren't hitting and they need somebody, preferably from an organization that typically hits, to come in and help them. This is now three times. And they traded for Corey Kluber, and he's gone on to be one of baseball's best pitchers. So, Kevin, I think we should wrap it right here. If that works for you, we will talk again after this series and see what this means. You know, is it time to panic yet or not? I think we can put off the is it time to panic yet conversation for another 3 days. What do you think?
Fair enough. Fair enough. Right. At least that long.
Awesome. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.